Welcome to SEL Unfiltered. If you are a teacher, counselor, or educator looking for additional SEL resources and encouragement, you are in the right place. Stick around to empower the SEL guide in you. This week, we are continuing our series on classroom community, where we will discover what community in the classroom can look like, discuss how to create a classroom community virtually or in person, and why they are so valuable. Today's episode, we are going to play Yay for the Day! Discover some benefits of classroom communities such as improved academics and behavior, and answer your question of the day. I am your host, Michelle Shepherd, and I am joined today by my trusty co-host, Caitlin Baldwin.
We are just two middle school counselors in the trenches wanting to share our unfiltered SEL tips and tricks that we have learned and developed over the years with you. All right, so let's talk about the nitty-gritty of benefits of creating classroom community. So I'm going to be really, really honest right now. Kids do not learn from people they don't like.
It's true.
It sounds so harsh, but it's true.
It's so true.
Like, being a counselor, if you're a counselor, you know exactly what I mean. Like, how many kids have you had come to your office and be like, well, I don't like Mrs. So-and-so. She's so mean. And they have behaviors in her classroom.
Yep. They're shut down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You might be thinking, well, I don't care. I'm not here to be their friend.
True.
It's true. I get that. I totally understand that. You're not here to be kids' friends. But if you do take the time to build that positive relationship with them, they will perform better in your classroom. And in the long run, it's going to benefit you.
Yeah. I mean, the time that it's going to save you to just be able to ask them something and they do it because they want to be liked by you. They want to impress you. They want to please you.
Right.
Just the time it saves just in that alone.
It's worth it.
Absolutely.
Favorite right. time. Game time.
Yay!
Yay for the day.
I like
this
it.
This is a rhyme. Fun game.
I like it.
Yay
it
for the day. So have your students say their yay for the day to help them focus on a positive mindset. Even just reading that made me smile.
I mean,
it's just so happy.
It is happy.
And it's so simple.
So simple.
Yeah.
Okay. What's your yay for the day?
My yay for the day. This is going to sound so silly. My yay for the day is that it's raining, which means when I go home later, I don't have to water my flowers tonight and I can just relax.
Ooh, that's a good yay for the day. My yay for the day, honestly, was when you came over and we started recording the podcast. Like, I don't know why, but I was so excited that we got to record this today.
Oh, yeah. Back at it.
Like, super excited about that.
So it's just a fun activity to do with your kids. And it's quick. It's easy. It's a quick take five.
Yeah. We love our take fives.
We love take fives. And there's so many.
And guys, we have a whole poster that you can print off of take fives. And that's at mymindtrek.com. And you just register for the free preview course and resources and go in there. There are classroom community things that you can click on, resources for you. And you can print off a take five poster, share it with your teachers, and it's totally free.
Yeah, it's great. And if you follow us on Instagram, there's things posted all the time about activities to do with your kids as well.
And our Instagram is at
MindTrek Education. So check it out.
All right. Our quote for today, take risks. If you win, you will be happy. If you lose, you will be wise. I mean, that is so true.
Mm-hmm.
That really goes into growth mindset.
It does.
Take a risk. So our risks today, how do we help our students be willing to take risks? How do we create an environment where they feel comfortable? And so increased trust to take academic risks is so important. And one way that we do that is to help meet basic needs. So are they feeling safe? Are they feeling full? Are they thirsty? Are they hungry? If they're thirsty and they're hungry, they're not learning because all they're thinking about is being thirsty and hungry.
Right.
Go get that kid a drink of water.
And if they don't feel safe, all they're thinking about is how the heck do I get out of here?
Yeah. They're not thinking about the math you're teaching them. They're not thinking about the social studies. They're not thinking about anything else.
Think about all your kids who elope from the classroom.
Whew.
They don't feel safe. What can we do?
And gone. And you know, when we put some things in place to help them feel safe,
they're more willing to stay and they get a lot more out of the time they spend in the classroom. So what can you do in your environment to help your students feel safe? Because when they feel safe, they're going to be more able to take those academic risks. And we know that when students are willing to take risks, then they learn more and their academics improve.
So that's one awesome benefit. Another benefit is decreased behavior issues. So teachers who promote a culture of classroom community expose their students to lessons on positive values, respect, and responsibility. So like we even just did that, yay for the day. Like that is just positive values being taught in your classroom. How easy is that? Doing an activity just like that can help decrease behavior issues.
And as silly as it sounds, we actually have to teach our students to behave.
Mm-hmm.
Like we teach them how to do math. We don't expect them to know how to do long division without teaching them. So we shouldn't expect them to know how to behave without teaching them the expectations of what we want to see or what good behavior looks like.
Exactly. So classroom rules, procedures, expectation, and consequences are explicit and do not include punishment. That is not the behavior issues, right? So from that, students are able to make a message of collaboration and foster a positive relationship with their peers. So learning those things, the classroom rules, procedures, expectations, those are all separate and do not include punishment. Punishment is not normally from our teachers, right? That's an administrator thing. So making sure you're doing that in your classroom. So making sure students are understanding that and then making sure they have the ability to create those positive relationships with their peers in that classroom community will help decrease those behavior issues.
I mean, and we know that structure makes people feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
Boundaries and rules make people feel safe. So when you just have a classroom that has no rules and has no structures, students don't know what to expect, and that causes fear, especially for our students that don't have safe home environments. They really need that structure to feel safe. So then let's help them feel ownership of their environment. So just like Caitlin said earlier, students don't learn from people they don't like. So Rita Pearson is an educator and speaker. I believe she's passed away now, but she does have a TED Talk. And that TED Talk is called Every Student Needs a Champion. Something about champion.
Every kid needs a champion.
Every kid needs a champion. And it's an amazing TED Talk. It's about 7 minutes long. So if you need some inspiration to be an awesome teacher, go watch her Rita Pearson's TED Talk on Every Kid Needs a Champion. It is fantastic. And it just shows that ways for you to, gives you inspiration for ways to care about your students and to be that champion for your students, because your kids know. They know if you care about them. They know if you don't like them.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that students don't learn from people they don't like. So when you build a relationship with them, it makes them feel like you like them. Whether you like them or not, when you have a relationship with them, they feel like you like them. They feel like you care about them.
And part of having a relationship with them, at least from my personal experience, is being just honest with them. Like if I have kids come to my office making bad choices, I'm honest with them and I say, hey, I'm going to be really honest with you right now. What you're doing is completely unacceptable. And they appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
They appreciate the honest feedback, and it's because it's coming from a place of love. You're not yelling at them. You're not putting them down. You're just saying like, hey, what are you doing? Like, let's fix it together.
Yeah.
Like I'm here to walk hand in hand with you. And kids really respond to that.
They do. And you know, the more you get to know your students, the more likable they become.
Mm-hmm.
Those kids with the tough shells, they have those tough shells because they've been hurt.
Yes.
And they need more of the love and the nurturing. And you might do it time after time after time after time after time. And you think, I'm never going to get through this kid's shell. He doesn't care or she doesn't care. Like, it's not making a difference. But it is. They're testing their boundaries. They're testing to make sure you're still going to be there because everyone else has abandoned them.
Mm-hmm.
So be that teacher. Give them that environment that fosters learning. So regardless of academic ability or behavioral needs, children are aware when they feel included in a classroom community. Whether they know how to do it or not, it doesn't matter. That is why we put our essential skills students in the classroom for a little bit of time so they can build those social relationships with their peers and with their teachers. It just gives them power.
Mm-hmm.
And once they have a sense of belonging, they're more likely to invest in their learning. When they feel like they belong, they're going to put effort into that. So nurturing your classroom community will take place on a daily basis. Implementing classroom jobs is a powerful way to let students know that they have a classroom environment that belongs to them. This might be a little more elementary, but even in middle school, give students a job. Even in high school, give students a job. Whose job is it to walk through and make sure the trash is picked up? Whose job is it to put the chairs up on the table at the end of the day? Maybe everyone's job to put the chair up on the table at the end of the day. Just give them a job, and it gives them ownership of that environment.
A story of what happened last week. I had a seventh grade science teacher who handed one of her students, who sometimes can be a little bit of a behavior problem, her key card, like her staff key card to be able to print things, and said, "Hey, I need you to run to the printer and get these off the printer and bring them back to class." And he took it from her and he looked at her and he said, "What? Me?" And she didn't blink an eye. She was like, "Yeah, can you go get these and come back?" Like, she had full trust that he was going to do this. Now, in the back of her mind, maybe she was a little like, "Ah," but she wanted to give him that job and that chance to do this. And she came and told me about it, and his whole face lit up. Like, here's an adult who's given me an opportunity to walk out of this room with this magical key card and thinking like, wow. And I mean, it's so simple. It's like, go print something, but it really changed that kid.
It does. And you know, in previous years, we've had a student advisory council, and I try to pick students who maybe other adults in the building don't think that they're trustworthy or don't think that they're worth their time or think that they're failures or think. I pick the kids who are really struggling in school, and I want them on the student advisory council because I want them to have a voice. I want them to feel ownership in their environment and in the building. And so when they have that ownership, they improve. They want to be at school. They start doing better. They stop picking fights with each other because they want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So. And then holding regular class meetings that are student-led also builds classroom community. But most importantly, each time you have an interaction with your student, it is an opportunity to grow their sense of trust and belonging. So just giving them that voice, give them the power to run your class meeting, giving them the power, we talked about this in our last episode, giving them the power to make the prompt for your take fives.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you do Fun Friday. Tell a joke or something. Give them the power to turn in the joke for that week. Give them the power to come up with a question of the day. It's amazing what that little tiny bit of power will do in a kid's life.
Right. It can be so simple, but so empowering.
Yeah.
It makes me smile. Just makes me smile.
You guys should see us right now. We have like big smiles on our face.
This is just a topic that I feel like can be so heartwarming. So I love it. Okay. On to the last segment of our show, the question of the week. This is where we want to hear from you and answer your tough questions. We are SEL Unfiltered for a reason. Email us your questions at podcast@themindtrack.com. Okay, so today's question.
I'm ready.
You have a teacher who says, "I do not have time to implement classroom community. I need to meet all my standards and need every second of class time to do that." What do you do?
Well, the mean part of me wants to say, well, do you have time to discipline your students every day in class? Probably you shouldn't say that, though. Don't say that.
But I'm sitting here when I ask this question, how many people, like, if you're listening to this, how many people pop up in your mind right now? Because I just think of, like, even at our school, we have people who are skeptical of classroom communities.
And when I think about those people who are skeptical of classroom communities, those are the same teachers that have put in office referral after office referral after office referral. And the teachers who take the time to build classroom communities rarely put in an office referral.
And the kids come to find those people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you build that community, I mean, their kids, like, flock to you.
Yeah.
They want to be with you.
And even, like, the next year, they come back.
Uh-huh.
Because I'll find kids in the hallway all the time. I'm like, why aren't you in the 8th grade hallway? I just wanted to see so-and-so. I just wanted to see.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, oh my gosh, get back to class.
Uh-huh.
You're like, but I just need to say.
Right. Like, it's like a good problem.
It is a good problem. But I'm like, okay, hurry. But go back to class. Like, right. You're going to be late. So the nice way to put it simply would be, like, I understand you have a lot going on. If you could take 2 minutes at the beginning of class to just do this question of the day, for 2 minutes with your students, just give them an opportunity to be heard and to feel like they belong. You are going to have so much more time to get in your standards. Your students are going to perform better because they're going to be more willing to take risks. I just really go and present the data to them.
Mm-hmm. And I think too, we've talked about this of as an administrator or counselor or whoever, if you can give teachers those pre-made prompts or something so that that work piece is taken away from them, I think that would be helpful.
Oh, definitely. And if you want those pre-made prompts, they're on our Instagram page. We have like one for every day, and that is at MindTrek Education. Mm-hmm. And so you can find all of those prompts that you can share with your teachers.
There's so many that you could just pull and do daily, weekly.
Absolutely. So we still want to hear from you, though. If you have ideas, if you have questions, if you have games, you have tips or tricks that you want us to share on the show, please email us at podcast@themindtrek.com. We cannot wait to hear from you. This has been SEL Unfiltered. Thanks to our sponsor, the MindTrek SEL program, guiding people of all ages to make the impossible possible by giving them the tools to overcome stress, build stronger relationships, and climb their Everest. You can find them at themindtrek.com. If you have feedback or want us to answer your SEL questions, email us at podcast@themindtrek.com. We would love to hear from you. Join us next time to empower the SEL guide in you.